Let's turn it up. Let's turn it on. Yogi Bastantino is playing that song.
Live from your computer, it's time again for the Josie Show. And here's your host, the teenage girl herself, Josie Pasentino.
Hello, world. I am currently in your computers. Boo. I'm in a very wacky mood today because I'm very, very excited. This is going to be an amazing, amazing show with such amazing, brilliant people, and it's going to be a serious promotional interviews, yet with a spice of my Josie fun interestingness-ism. So it's going to be very, very fun. We have a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if I said this already, but welcome to the Josie Show. Goodness, I am crazy today. So, it's a very, very, very busy night. I have three amazing guests joining me tonight for interviews, and I have some music as well from our guests. I believe we'll even have a little live performance tonight right here on the show. Woo! Yeah, I'm so excited. So tonight I speak with Frank Thomas, James McCullum from the James McCullum Project, and author S. Denise Nguyen, who has a phenomenal book out titled Two Continents, One Hope. So you can look forward to those amazing, amazing guests. And additional news, after our show airs live each Friday night, such as tonight, it will re-air on Wednesdays at Fishing Country Now Radio and Cowgirl Divas Radio at 1 p.m. Eastern each week. You can tune in there at www.fcnr.net. Yeah! We're very excited to have our show rebroadcasted on their network. So special thank you to them. And every Monday at 4 p.m. Central Time Zone, some of our best past episodes will air on Radio Musicians Music at www.radio.musicjamsmusic.net. Jamsmusic.net?
No, let's fix that.
Yeah, let's fix that one, see?
musicjamsmusic.net.
There you go. Okay. www.radio.musicjamsmusic.net, which was misspelled on here, by the way. But it's okay. So please check that out. That was one of our bloopers for tonight. You already know it's going to be crazy. I believe Peanut, our real female squirrel mascot, will debut a song tonight right here on the Josie Show. That squirrel
hey,
really makes me nervous. Yes?
Just to prove to everyone that the show is heard on a lot of different networks worldwide, everybody go in the chat room, say hello to Vicky. She's live in the chat room from England right now listening to the show, and it's like past her bedtime and everything, so she's in her pajamas with the little feet on them.
Awesome. Well, Vicky, thank you so much for staying up with us. I know it's really, really late by you, but thank you. Woohoo! Oh, that's awesome. I think that's so cool. But like I was saying, the squirrel, your Alan Squirrel Peanut really makes me nervous. And Vicky, you probably agree because you know Alan. And you know
Vicky knows Peanut longer than you do. And yes, be afraid
exactly,
of the squirrels tonight because they're extremely hyper. It has something to do with maple syrup and pancakes. I have no clue. I am not getting involved.
Yeah, I'm not either, okay? So disclaimer, we did not do anything, okay? This was purely our mascot, Peanut's fault. So
Josie finds herself tied to her chair with her shoelaces tied together. It was not me. It wasn't Tina. Blame the squirrels.
Blame the squirrels. That's absolutely right. Oh, goodness, this is already starting out to be crazy. But if all goes according to plan, this is supposed to be an amazing show, and Alan will agree with me. And if not, well, it's usually funny, so hopefully that'll help. So stay tuned for the whole thing.
You know what's amazing is going to be next week's show, because we have like four guests scheduled, another like eight calling in, because it's the Josie Show's third anniversary.
I know. I'm so excited about that. Our third anniversary for the Josie Show, which is incredible. I don't,
and Tina starts drinking tomorrow.
Can I just tell you, it went really fast. I don't even recall it being 3 years, okay? So that's crazy. But, yeah, it's insane. So I am seriously Facebooking and tweeting for everyone to get into the chat room. So let's see here as I message. So I'm very excited because I have my first guest. I'm so excited. This woman is amazing. So everyone, please welcome my friend Estenice Newton to the show. Woohoo!
Wow. Wow.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. How are you, Josie?
I am great. How are you?
I am hyped up. I'm over the moon. I don't know if I'll come down anytime soon, but I can tell you this, you are simply phenomenal.
Thank you. I think you are. I am completely blown away with everything that you do. So I'm very excited that we got you on my show. I'm very excited to talk to you.
Oh, that is so humbling. I just thank you guys so much for considering me.
Oh, no problem. You can come anytime. You know that. You know that. I'm so excited to promote the heck out of your book, which I have a copy of, and I absolutely love it so far.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
it's
you.
True.
Wow.
I just have to say I absolutely love it. And in case my audience doesn't know this, I just want to start from the beginning. I had the pleasure of meeting you a couple years ago in Nashville with a whole group of amazing people like yourself. That was so much fun.
Yeah. It was. You know, Josie, I often think back to that time, and I was telling some people about you today, you know, because I work with elementary school kids, first graders this year, in fact, and I was telling them about you and, you know, you being young and all that you're accomplishing as a young person, and they were just, like, asking me a million questions about how you guys started. So I told them that certainly to ask their parents if they could listen in to tonight's show and hear you, you know, in person, live. And so I think some of them are certainly listening tonight. But, yes, when I met you down in Nashville, I just said to myself, there is hope that we certainly have not lost this generation, as it appears that we have. So definitely you are definitely a game changer. And I'm very, very grateful to God for having the opportunity to meet you and your incredible parents as well.
thank you so much. And I really hope that they're listening in, and I hope they enjoy the show, because I am very excited. And it's going to be amazing. And getting to meet you, of course, was just amazing. But to, you know, actually talk to you about, you know, your interests and stuff, that was amazing. Because what I like about you is, you know, you don't just, you know, talk about things that you want to happen. You actually, you know, go out and work to make them happen, whether it's through your actions or bringing awareness to issues, et cetera, and now through your new book.
Wow, thank you so much.
Amazing, yes. I really want to talk to you a little bit about your book, because I was going through it. I absolutely love it. So let's start here. Your book, obviously, is titled Two Continents, One Hope. And where did you get the name for this book? Where did you get that title?
Well, I have the most amazing opportunity last year in November to travel to South Africa with the Africa Live Education Foundation. And that just happened through, because, as you know, Josie, I have a radio show as well. And I interviewed this lady from Zimbabwe who was trying to raise awareness of the AIDS pandemic in South Africa, which is horrendous. It is just awful. And she was a guest on my show, and she was talking about going over to South Africa and taking supplies there and doing some things to reach out to AIDS orphan children. And, you know, I just got all excited about that because I wanted to be a part of that. But when I looked at how the cost that would be associated with that, I was like, that won't happen. But, you know, because I wanted to be a part of that and do what I could to try to reach out and help, she, you know, made it possible for me to go. But to answer your question directly about the title, when I went to South Africa and saw that the AIDS pandemic is so severe, so dire, in addition to the extreme poverty there, that the life expectancy for African women right now is only 34 years old. And
wow.
for African men, it's about 37. So many of these people are not even living to get 40 because of the severe AIDS pandemic. And I saw it while I was there and going through some of the villages. A lot of villages are just desolate. There's just no one there because so many people have just died off from this horrible disease. And there's millions of AIDS orphan children right now on the continent of Africa because the parents, of course, have died from the dreaded disease. So that age group between about age 50 to about, 15 to about 50 has been hard hit, and they're almost non-existent, to be honest with you. So I was crushed to go there and see that, to go into an orphanage where children, it just seems, the whole thing just seems so hopeless. And I worked with AIDS orphan children while I was there. I worked in a primary school where 80% of the student body are AIDS orphans or they have the disease themselves. And, you know, and that was just so crushing to me to see that hopelessness that was there, at least where that's concerned with the poverty, the economic turmoil, the political troubles that they have. There was just so many things. And as I was traveling back across the Atlantic, and my heart was just heavy, and, you know, that's just me because I feel burdened when I see these things because I want to know what can I do to help. And as I was crossing back over the Atlantic back to the States, and I said, well, what do I face when I get back home? I was in Africa for several weeks. And I saw all these horrible things, but what's any better? What's different or better or worse in America? And when I got back home, Josie, and honestly, and I started thinking about all that's going on with our youth today, specifically youth of color, minority children, with the gang violence, the gun violence, the educational problems, the poverty. And even AIDS, HIV is pretty hitting the black community hard as well. And so I just said somewhere, in spite of all of these things, there is still hope that these things can be changed around. But you're going to have to get the conscious-minded people such as Josie Pazzatino and Malia McKinney and Skylar Jett and all these people who are involved in the whole conscious movement, social conscious movement. It's going to take people like us to galvanize and to reach out and use whatever talents, whether it's music, whether it's entertainment, whether it's books, whether it's public speaking, whatever your particular gift is, to get out there and use it to help fight off some of these things and make things a little better. So this is the whole concept of two continents came from the fact that I just see the utter so much destruction of black people in Africa and back here in America as well. And yes, it is in two different ways. I don't think, of course, the poverty bit is prevalent here too. Of course, not quite as bad as it is in Africa, but it's in spite of what's going on both continents, hope is a powerful force. And as long as we don't let hope go, we can change some of these things, and we can galvanize the game changers, and we can galvanize the people who have a heart for others and want to see other people, be able to be pulled up to their feet and do a little better. So that's where the concept of two continents, one hope came from, that, these things can't change, regardless of what we're saying right now.
Right, right. And I have to say, I've seen photos of you, from your trip on, Facebook and stuff. And I was just so amazing. The pictures were just so powerful, to me, because it's so amazing that all, everyone there, everything, that happens there, those kids still had like a smile on their face, which I thought was just amazing. And I totally teared up when I seen the picture because, because you read all these other things and, you were there. And you could just see all of the smiles and hope in all the kids' faces.
Wow. Wow. That's an awesome point, Josie. And let me tell you this. And, and that's what I came away with the most. Yes, the whole age of poverty and the bad things, the negative things, yes, they're there. But I came away with, that's another reason where the hope factor came in for me, because when I went, when I was at the primary school there with the kids, and, some of these kids, Josie, will only get a decent meal every two or so days. They walk such long ways to get to school. They don't have shoes, a lot of them, they don't have shoes to wear. And then when they get to school, they're going into these buildings that have no running water, no electricity, no heat, no air conditioning. They have no desks, no chairs, no tables. They sit on the floor, a floor that has huge potholes everywhere. But then you know, they are the most, some of the most brightest, smartest, articulate, ready to learn, excited about learning children I've ever had the pleasure of being around. None of that stopped their ability to learn. That's why I don't agree with this this line of reasoning that we have in America, that a lot of what's going on with a lot of our children is due to poverty. It's why they get in trouble or turn to, negative lifestyles and things like that. But I look at these kids, our poverty in so many ways cannot be compared to theirs on any level. These children have a lot of hope, and their national thing right now, specifically in Zimbabwe, where I was, is education is the way out of poverty. So they take education very, very seriously, and so that's, again, that's where the hope piece came in for me, too, that if it could change in Africa, it could certainly change here in America as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I thought that was amazing, and I love the pictures and seeing every single thing that, you know, that was there, and it must have just been such an eye-opening experience, especially since, you know, you live here and then going there. I can't even imagine. I would be,
It wasn't easy. I cried a lot when I was there. I really did, because the human spirit is strong. And it would take a very cold-hearted person to be able to go to a place like Africa and not and see and witness those things and not feel, what can I do to help? What can I do to make a difference? No matter how slight or how small, what can I do? And, you know, and I found my calling while I was there. But, of course, that wasn't the only thing about being in Africa, Josie. Out of all the places I've ever traveled in my life, and I'm also a military veteran, and I've been to a lot of places, I don't think I've ever seen anything that could come close to the beauty and the majesty of the continent of Africa. I mean, it was just something that I was just, it just felt like I was in, just have been transported into a whole new world in the things that I was exposed to there. So the beauty and the majesty of the continent is amazing as well.
Absolutely. And you speaking about, you know, I mean, you were there and then, you know, you were thinking of ways, you know, how could I help? What can, you know, average people, like, I mean, me, what could I do to help? You know what I mean? Is there, you know, any ways, I mean, I know people are asking, you know, what could we do?
Absolutely.
For people that are interested in helping, what are some things that, you know, we could do as people?
One of the things that I learned that was a bit disheartening is, I know people over the years have sent financial assistance to Africa through various organizations, and unfortunately, for the most part, those funds do not get where they should go. You got those middlemen, you got those people that take advantage of people's goodwill and their willingness to want to help, and they take these things. But to answer your question directly, if there is an organization, support people. I would say this: support people that you know are going over there that's going to really do something. Get involved with these organizations, like people from America that actually take the trips there. You're going there because what we did, we raised our money stateside. We raised our money here in America, and we physically took that money with us to South Africa, and we bought what they needed while we were there and distributed what was needed into the villages while we were there. That way, no one, you know, there was no middleman. There was no one who could intercept what we were doing because we had it with us. So I would say, you know, to support, however, whether it's, you know, financially, you know, organizations that are taking these yearly or however often they go over to Africa, support them, help send somebody there, or you know, simply get involved in, like right now I'm doing a Bible drive because when I was there, one of the things that was said to me was that they had one Bible for a whole village and that they wanted, you know, they needed more Bibles. So what I've done now, I'm collecting Bibles and then I'm going to ship the Bibles over there to, you know, so that they can have them. So, you know, drives, get involved in those kind of drives. There's a bunch of stuff on the internet, but I would say right now, I could tell you of an organization that I know for 1,000%, if there was ever such a number, that actually takes what they raise and it goes directly to those that need it, and that is the Africa Alive Education Foundation, which I went over with them. And they are doing some phenomenal work. They're building a library. They shipped hundreds and hundreds of books over there. I was there, Josie, and some kids had the, you know, was able to read a book for the first time, their own book. And I know that the Africa Alive Education Foundation, which is founded and headed by Gertrude Mache, she takes these things physically over to Africa and ensures that they get into the villages. So supporting an organization like that can help. Just keeping abreast of what's going on over there and find those legitimate organizations also outside of Africa Live that are doing things. Because, when it comes to sending funds, I'm a little hesitant to say, just send money there because, experience has taught that oftentimes that money don't get there. But support these organizations that, you know, are reputable and legitimate that will ensure that whatever you're doing will get there. And also, Josie, for those of us in media, such as yourself, we would plug it once in a while on the show, say, get involved in an African mission, find one and just kind of promote it a little bit on your show. So, because I'm going to tell you, though, things are changing rapidly because now the whole thing about the two continents, one hope, like in my book, that bridging the two continents is becoming more of a reality because now you're starting to see more in Africa media, radio, TV, music, entertainment. So I would also say to support those artists, artists from the continent that are doing things because they're trying to raise money to take back, to their wherever they're from on the continent and try to help with the AIDS pandemic and try to help with the poverty and things like that. So, to directly answer your question, just get involved with some of these organizations that are doing great things and help them out. It doesn't always have to be financial. Right. You can, write some letters, host a radio show where, you can just talk about what's going on over there. Just to get people's attention to the problem. And yes, I understand we have those issues here in America as well. But when I tell you that our worst is still better than their best, that's not an exaggeration. That's a fact.
Absolutely. And I never knew that there were so many things that everyone can do. It's just so easy, either write letters or, plug it on a show if you have one. I mean, there's so many different things, of course, financially and all this other stuff, but there's so many, easy ways, which I think everyone, if you can, definitely help spread the word and maybe we could, help in some way. There's a lot of people that we can
reach. That is right. Because I'm going to tell you, word of mouth is powerful. And after going over there and seeing for myself really what's going on, and they don't want to be in the positions that they're in. These are kids. These kids love. They just fell in love with us while we were there. They followed us everywhere. They wanted to imitate everything we did. Even in their extreme poverty, they still had so much hope. And one of the things that they did, they sang us a welcome song about how good Jesus is. And I have to be honest with you, and I'm a Christian, but, I found that so incredible for them to be singing, how good Jesus is, welcome here, and Jesus is good, and I'm looking at the conditions under which they have to live. So alone just kind of changed my whole perspective, that if they can still find a glimmer of hope in their dark environments, then, how much more can those of us who are doing better than them be able to grab hold of some hope? And when we're doing, again, so much better. So they taught me so much in the few weeks that I was there. They really did.
Definitely. There's so many, amazing topics that, we could be talking for hours about this. There's so many, amazing topics that you bring up in your book. And this was just like a little tidbit, a little sneak peek. But for people that want to read more, where can we purchase your book?
My book is available on Amazon. Of course, you just go in and type in Two Continents, One Hope. Searching the Atlantic for the Souls of Black People. And also, it's on my website, which is by the name Two Continents, onehope.webs.com. And it's also in Kindle format. It's on Barnes & Noble. So, you know, the best to get it quicker, especially because I really like to send personalized messages to to those who do buy the book. If you will go to my website and order it, and then I will ship it to you. And that way I can certainly thank you in person for the book, for buying, because what I'm doing is a portion of my proceeds will be going to the Africa Live Education Foundation to benefit the orphans, AIDS orphans children in Zimbabwe. So that's what I'm going to do, is have a portion of my proceeds go there. That's another way that you can help to, go directly to a specific organization. For instance, the Nazarene Primary School, that's where my proceeds will go, and also to the Bulawayo Mustard Seed Orphanage. My funds will go there as well to try to help with those children. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's how they can get
it. I love that. It's a win-win situation. You get a great book, and also it's helping many, many people. I think those type of things are just amazing. I love that.
They really are.
Yeah, really. I'm glad I could help out a little bit because I got your book.
When I saw you post that on Facebook, I was so excited. I said, "Oh my God, Josie got my book!" I was so happy about that. And I'm going to tell you about that, Josie, real quick, because you know the book. I don't hold back because I see, and like I said, this is a burden to me, especially with minority children. There is so much that is going on that can be prevented, and I simply just bear it all because, you know, truth is liberating, and until it's just like being an alcoholic or a drug addict or anything else, unless and until you first identify and admit that you have a problem, there can't be any solutions. So, you know, that was one reason for writing the book, saying, look, I've been working in this public and private school systems now for almost 20 years. So I see so much that I know is self-inflicted. And that's what it troubles me, because there's so much, and I don't mean so much in Africa, but definitely here in America, that there is so much that doesn't have to be if we made better choices. So that, you know, that is a resounding theme throughout the book, is that we got to make better choices. And so that subtitle, Searching the Atlantic for the Souls of Black People, you know, it is one of those things where I know some of what goes on can be directly linked back to slavery, but it's certainly time for us to turn those slave ships around. I just believe that so much happened on those open waters between the continent of Africa and North America during the transatlantic slave trade and the Middle Passage, but it's time for us to kind of get beyond those things. Those things are there. There's no denying the impact that it had and continues to have in some way. But we have to find a way to bury that stuff in the Atlantic. Just bury all of it. You know, it's been gone now for several hundred years. Bury all of that in the Atlantic, and let's move forward. Because what I'm seeing right now is just completely disheartening, with all of the violence, the gangs, the gun violence, the educational suicide, the single parenting. It is just so much, the poverty and all these things. Some of this stuff can be prevented or made better if we just make better choices. So that's the whole concept behind the subtitle being Searching the Atlantic for the Souls of Black People, and I'm hoping that eventually we will bury the issue of slavery once and for all.
Right, absolutely. And I think that this book is I'm enjoying it. I think this is a really great book for everyone, you know, all ages, and it doesn't matter who you are. And I absolutely love it, and I hope everyone gets it. Get educated. It's a really great, empowering book, and I absolutely love it. And I was wondering, do you have any, book signings scheduled where people will be able to, you know, meet you and, get the book that way? Are you having any of those?
I've had one already. I had one a couple of weeks ago, and we're working on some more. And I just got some fascinating news from a filmmaker friend of mine today, who's going to actually do a documentary on me and the book and my work and everything that I was doing as far as Africa. But to directly answer your question, we're working on that now to set up some more, and I'm ready to hit the road and go into some of these youth centers. And again, this book is, even though the since you're saying with this book kind of, you know, it's relating more to the minority community, I want us all to come together. This is about not only bridging the gap between the two continents, but it is time for us to pull down all of these barriers, no matter where we are, who we are, what our ethnic backgrounds are. We are all of the human race, and it's just crazy to me that in the 21st century, the new millennium, 2012, we still have all of these stupid racial issues, and I just want to see all of those walls come down, and that's another part of my platform. So I will be traveling. I'm trying to get some things together now where I will start doing a book tour soon to go to and just speak to anybody saying it's time for us to come together as humans, not just I don't care anything about you could be polka-dotted striped that look like SpongeBob. Make no difference to me. I just think at this point, just like we did, Josie, when all of us got together down in Nashville, we had a blast in Nashville, and I mean, we just had so much fun with Lenore and her mother and Skylar and Malia and Michelle. Yeah. We just had so much fun there, and this is what it needs to be. I want to see all of our children, you know, all of these young people come together and just enjoy life instead of all of this, all these crazy barriers. So that is what I'm fighting for, Josie. That's what I'm working for. So I'm putting together some things now. Hopefully I'll get around the country a little bit to carry this message of breaking down these walls and these gaps that exist between us racially, ethnically, socially, whatever it is, to pull it down. And let's come together as a human race and us and just be here and do and enjoy life while we're here. It's short enough, so we might as well enjoy being together before we check out, right?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, people are people, and that's how I was raised, and that's how That's how I'm going to teach my kids and my grandkids. So, I love to educate people as well. So I'm behind you 100%. And I understand everything that you're saying, and that's another reason why I love your book. And also, before you go, though, I have to mention, in your book, you have a picture of you next to a big cub. But it is so crazy amazing. I was looking at this, and I was like, that thing is so close to you. How did that feel? Oh, my God.
Wow. I'll tell you, Josie, you know, everybody asks me about that. One of the first things that I'm asked, is that Photoshopped? And I'm here to tell you tonight, all of you who are listening, that is not Photoshopped. That is me. When I was in Victoria Falls, and before I go, please, people, if you ever get a chance to visit Victoria Falls, South Africa, in Zimbabwe, please go. You're talking about magical. I mean, it is like it has just like this paradise feel to it. But I was in Victoria Falls, and we went on what was called the Lion Walk. And I will say this really quick too. It was funny because they said, "Oh, you're gonna get to walk with lions," and they kept using the word cub. Cubs. So I was like, oh, what am I concerned about? They're talking about cubs. So I'm, you know, spending these little kitten kind of things or whatever. And we get out there, and I'm looking, and then the guy says, "Oh, well, you're going, you guys, we're taking you out to meet your cubs." And I'm smiling and joking with all of the tourists, and everything's ha-ha funny. And then I see this King of the Jungle thing, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. That thing, that is a real lion. He's big. And I was like, oh, yeah, right? You know, so, and I was hiding, and they made me kind of get up there and stroke it and pet it and walk with it. And once I touched it the first time and it didn't shred me to pieces, then I got a little bit more confidence. But one thing that allowed that to happen, and they're not necessarily tamed, but they are more accustomed to humans because a lot of humans come through the area. But the night before we got there, they had killed and eaten an African buffalo. So their stomachs were pretty full. We'd have been simply an after dinner meal to them, so they were not interested in us. Their bellies were full of African buffalo meat, so I think I was relatively safe. But the photo is real, and my kids love it. At school, when I show it to them, they think I'm the craziest person that ever lived, but they love the picture.
It is so cool, because your hand is on his back or something, and he's just, like, chilling there. He's just like,
yeah.
This is awesome.
He had a face with his tail one time, but that was it, you know. He didn't like the way I was holding his paw one time, so but it was cool. I'll never forget that. Not that I would ever do it again, but I'll never forget it.
That's crazy. 18-month-old lion cub.
18. And the main was starting to come in. I said, how do you put cub and this thing in the same sentence? this is not a cub, this is a beast. And they thought I was so funny. You know, it was like, I tell you from America. I was like, this is not a cub to me, a kitten. This is nothing yet, but it was awesome. I would never do it again, though. Never. You know, so I don't think I would have the nerve
to. To be honest, I would be so distraught. I mean, I would really want to, like, take a picture with them. I would really want to, but then on the other hand, I'll be like, you see, I'm a little tiny, so I'm afraid, like, I could fit in his teeth maybe. And I would be so scared to, though, but I would want to take a picture like that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a wonderful
lifetime. It was awesome. But it's beautiful. Africa is beautiful. So if you never had the chance to go to the continent, please do. And I highly recommend Victoria Falls, especially if you're getting married or something, your honeymoon, or if you want to renew your vows or whatever, 25th anniversary or something, go to Victoria Falls. It's magical.
So beautiful. I love it. And Bearcat, I think you got a new fan here in the chat room. You have some new fans here.
I'm reading some of the comments, and I am so humbled, guys. I just thank you so much. And you know, please, if you get an opportunity to get the book, get it, share it with some young people. And I'm trying to do my part in helping to save this generation because they need help. They need our guidance. There's so much happening with our young people that we, those of us who know the way and know better, we have to kind of stand up and pass that torch. And if you read the book, you'll hear me talk about like in the Olympics, it's not the torch that gets passed from runner to runner. It's the flame. And it's time for us to pass the flame to the next generation. Keep it lit for them and so that they can, you know, clearly see the path that they're on. So if there's any dangers in the roadway, they can avoid it at all costs. So please get the book and share it with some young people. And I just thank you guys so much for the support.
Oh, absolutely. Two continents, one hope. It has my stamp of approval. Not that it needs my approval. It's amazing. but please, please, please buy it. Check it out if you can. I absolutely love it. So please get it. Amazon, your website. Can you tell us your website one last time, please?
Absolutely. It is Two Continents, One Hope. It's long, guys. I'm just silly like that. But it's Two Continents, One Hope. webs.com. Again, it's Two Continents, One Hope, spelled out, all one thing, no spaces. Two Continents, One Hope. webs.com. And you can order the book right from there, or simply just go to Amazon or Barnes and Noble. Don't go to Barnes and Noble because it's a little bit higher there. I'm trying to. It's at $37. I don't know why they priced it there. But go to Amazon where it's $15, or to my website where it's $15, and I would certainly appreciate it.
Awesome, awesome. And we'll post your website link on Facebook and Twitter so people can just go there. Easy.
You're so awesome, Josie Passantino. You really are.
Anytime. We're actually running out of time, but I had so much fun talking with you, and I love every time I get to talk to you because I, like, learn something. I get so educated, and it's so much fun. Because you do it in, like, such, like, a fun way, and you know what I mean? When you talk to kids, you don't, like, you know, just, you know, you don't, like, preach out. You don't just, you're not, like, doing da-da-da-da-da, do this, do this, do this. you actually, you know, you're really fun. So I enjoy it having you.
I'm going to make sure I download this, and I'm taking it to my supervisor so that she can hear what you said. So, So if there's any racist story, anything... Yeah, don't say, Josie, you caused that. But I do thank you, dear, and I had a blast, and you are so awesome, and I just thank God for you and your family, your parents, and your listening audience. Thank you guys for being so warm and welcoming me tonight.
Oh, you too. Thank you so, so much, and I'll talk to you on Facebook and all that fun stuff.
You got it.
That's all right. Awesome.
All right, good night,
awesome.
Everybody.
Good night. Good night. That was the wonderful S. Denise Nguyen. Remember her book, Two Continents, One Hope. And I'll post a website, her website, on my Facebook, my Twitter. So please keep a lookout for that. Two Continents, One Hope. Please check it out. All ages. Everyone, check it out. so let's see here. What's going on here? Let me get my producer on here so she could... help us out here. I just
alrighty.
The show's going awesome, and
it's
I'm just
going.
Laughing.
We're just gonna keep it rolling, and we are so lucky tonight because Frank Thomas, singer songwriter, he is actually backstage at one of his performances. Yes, he's performed for a few hours already, and he's gonna chat with us before he goes back on. So we love that.
Yeah.
So hang on 1 second. Let's bring on our friend Frank Thomas.
Let's
Frank, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. How are you today?
Hi. Hi, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Just great. Been looking forward to talking to you. Your mom was real sweet, and I've been looking forward to talking to you, too.
Isn't she? I know. I love her. She's a keeper. But thank you so, so much. I am so excited to talk to you. It'll be a lot of fun. I am ready. So let's see here. I want to start here at the beginning to get to know you a little bit better. So at what age did you start making music? When did you realize that this is what you wanted to do, you didn't want to do anything else?
Well, you know, I sang all my life. And, before I even started picking, I always wanted to sing. And finally, a few years ago, one of my brothers gave me a guitar and said, now learn your own. You know, so I've always been a singer. And I'm one of these guys that will drive 100 miles to sing for free, you know.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. You do not miss an opportunity to show your talent, which you shouldn't. You shouldn't hide it.
Well, I just love singing and picking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was wondering, who are your biggest musical influences? Who do you really look up to on repeat?
Well, I'm a traditional country guy. Of course, you know, Hank Williams, George Jones, Ray Price, Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, you know, Ricky Van Shelton. Nowadays, you know, of course, Alan Jackson and Vince Gill. You know, real country, traditional country is what I love.
Oh, yes. All the greats. We all know the greats. Love it.
I don't try to copy any of them, but I sing all their songs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You do a lot of, you do covers, and then also you do your own stuff, right?
Well, I do mainly covers. You know, I've written, mm-hmm. I'm like one of these writers that's probably got 300 partial songs in a drawer, and I just, you know, if I ever get to where I really like one or get a co-writer, they'll come out. But I'm more of a singer, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. And can you also give everyone the links to websites or social networking sites so they can keep up with your latest news and get to chat with you?
Yeah. Yes, I have a website, of course, www.frankthomascountry.org, and then I have a YouTube channel, which is just Frank Thomas Country. Got quite a few songs up there. And Josie, I kept it simple. It's just me and a guitar. I'm not even plugged in. It's like I'm singing in your living room. So
awesome!
You know,
awesome! I'm so excited. I heard you're gonna do a little live performance for us. I'm ready. Let's do it. I'm excited.
Well, I don't know how much I can sing of these songs as covers, but I'll just sing a verse or so of a couple of them for you.
Awesome. Yeah, just a couple bars or so.
Huh? Yeah.
Just a couple bars or so. What do you think? Yeah, a couple verses is really good.
I'll do a couple verses. And here's a John Anderson song I like. And I won't use a pick since we're on the phone. I don't want to make it too loud for you. So. Okay.
Oh, no problem. Let's do it. I'm excited.
Your lying blue eyes used to charm me. Hypnotize me through and through, like a fool. I've been dreaming your lying blue eyes just hold on you. All those stories I've been hearing, Lord, I couldn't believe that they were true. Just this morning, over coffee, your lying blue eyes just told on you. That's an idea of what I do.
Yeah, I liked it. Woohoo! I actually feel like I'm at a concert right now.
You what?
I feel like I'm at a concert right now. This is so cool.
Oh, really? Yeah, I took a break over here. I've been singing a couple hours. And I want to tell you, I did have a little good news, too. I just recently signed with Playback Records in Nashville.
Ooh.
And going to start, you know, their main guy up there in the studio had a heart attack a couple weeks ago, and he won't be back for 2 weeks. So we're probably going to record a couple of them middle of October for release in November, but I'm really excited about it. Jack Gale and Jim Pierce, they've got a real good company there, and I'm excited to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Congratulations. That's huge. That's
by the
so
way,
cool.
Congratulations to you, too, on your song.
Oh, thank you. Wow, that means a lot to be coming from you. That's awesome. Thank you.
there's another song that I've got. I've got a friend up in Canada, and then, of course, I've got I toured over in Australia for 6 weeks a couple years ago, and I've got what I call my Australian family over there and my little daughter. And so can I sing a couple bars for them?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. In the twilight, oh, I see blue eyes crying in the rain. When we kiss, I am parted, I do. Love is like a dying ember, only memories remain, and through the ages I remember, blue eyes cry in the rain. Blue eyes cry in the rain.
Woo. I love it.
Huh?
I love it. That was beautiful. That was amazing.
Hey, I just got an iPhone here, so I didn't know if it was coming through okay. So.
Yes, it is. It's actually very perfect.
sounds
amazing. Thank you so much for singing to us live. It's awesome.
Well, I love doing that. I said, like on my website and everything, I didn't use my amp or anything, and there's no mixers or anything. It's just like you and I sitting here and me singing to you, and it keeps it nice and simple. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is really cool because you can have that, you know, more instant connection with the fans when it's just, you know, you and the guitar and, you know what I mean? Which is
important. I do a lot of shows like that where it's a one-man, 3 or 4 hour show. I've got about 300 songs memorized, and then, you know, I've got a book with a bunch of others. But, you know, so I can pretty much not repeat a song, you know.
That is so, so, so cool. And I was wondering, have you ever met anyone that, you know, gave you just such great advice? It could be, you know, a songwriter or another artist or, you know, anyone who gave you really, really great advice, you know, for your career.
Well, you know,
interesting,
Josie, I sang all my life, and I was married for 20 years, and I helped a lady raise her children, my stepkids, and so I never went anywhere or anything, and everybody kept telling me to do it. Well, about in 2005, she got rid of me, and then I really started pursuing it. I went back out to Texas, where my family and everybody were all from, and it happens to be Carthage, which is where the Texas Country Music Hall of Fame is. And I sang around there a lot. I sang at every Opry and Hayride in Texas and most of Louisiana and Arkansas. I even sang about 4 years ago, a real nice man by the name of Bud Christian was trying to get the Louisiana Hayride going again in the old Shreveport Auditorium, and I was a regular on that for a couple of years. And then, so I down at the Country Music Hall of Fame, of course, I met a lot of good guys. One of the guys was John Rex Reeves, who is Jim Reeves' nephew, and he has a great show up in Branson, and the Jim Reeves tribute show, and he let me sing up there with him. And so, you know, I do know a lot of people. The main thing everyone's always said, Josie, is just don't quit. Just keep on following your dream. And
definitely. Very wise words. Everyone can follow that one. I love it.
You know, every time you get knocked down, get back up. You know, I'm also a karate master, and I've learned over the years. I had my own schools for many years. Although I don't actively teach anymore, I still work out 3 or 4 nights a week for a couple of hours. So.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well,
that's amazing.
I was in the Marine Corps for 7 years, so you know, everything that I've had in my life has been self-discipline and don't quit. So
absolutely.
That came in handy.
Yeah, that really came in handy. Oh, and thank you so much for your service as well. I want to sneak that in there.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. That's very amazing.
You
seriously have done it all. Can I just say you have done it all?
Yeah. I've done quite a bit, but there's still a lot left to do. And, you know, one of my dreams, like I said, Mr. Jack Gale and Jim Pierce have made it happen for me. And hopefully now, everybody listen to this, when my first release comes out in October, November, everybody will like it so that we can do a lot more. So.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm very excited to see everything that, you know, you have up your sleeves and songs and all other fun stuff. I'm excited to see, you know, what kind of covers you like to sing as well. Do you like to pick songs to sing that, you know, have a meaning to you? Or, I mean, what kind of songs do you look at? What kind of songs do you like?
It's interesting. It's like Playback Records sent me 10 originals to pick some songs from. And, you know, I'm a ballad type guy. You know, I'll sing a fun, you know, upbeat song, but I like a song. My idea of Country Josie is it's got to be from a life experience. It's got to touch your soul. It's got to have some meaning. There are so many people nowadays that are professional songwriters, and they, three or four of them get together, and they have their Starbucks, and they get out their book of hooks, and they think they're going to write hit songs. But, you know, to me, if it doesn't have a lot of soul and heart to it, something that one of us, you know, that you might have been through, then I'm not interested in it. I want songs that I can really get into when I sing. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Absolutely. So you like those ballads, and, you know, I like the type of songs where, I mean, no matter what it is, slow song or, you know, whatever, that kind of, you know, gets the crowd, you know, rocking, but also they have like a story behind it, a meaning, you know, a relatable. Those are the type of songs that I really enjoy, you know?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, a good song, Josie, if you hear the first two or three notes coming on the radio, you immediately say, well, that's that song. And so many songs now just don't have that. You know, they all sound the same. Or, I mean, there are some good, I will say there's still some good songs coming out as far as traditional. But,
mm-hmm.
Josie, like the songs that you write, you know, you want it to be something that 10 years from now, when someone hears the first couple lines, they know that's the, you know, they can sing along with it. And
right.
Like this is up. Do you mind if we do another little short thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This is a song that everybody can identify with. And this was my friend up in Canada. This is her dad. Her dad was a musician all of his life, and she's a wonderful singer. And this is what she mm-hmm. sang at his funeral, and this is a great song.
All right.
When the last breath of life is gone from my body, and my lips are as cold as a sea, when my friends gather around for my farewell party, won't you pretend you love me? There'll be flowers for those who cry when I go and leave you in this old world alone. I know you'll have fun at my farewell party. I know you'll be glad when I'm gone. That's Gene Watson really knocked that song out of the ballpark. He's really a great singer. Another Texas singer.
Absolutely. That is a very relatable song and a very, you know, amazing, amazing ballad. And you do it really good. You do it justice, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think I've got that one on my website and on my YouTube channel. But, you know, your folks might want to know, too, that if they have a classic request or whatever, I'll definitely put a request up for them. If I can learn it, I'll put it up there.
Yeah, that's so cool. Do you are you on YouTube or with your covers, or where could everyone, you know, find you?
Yeah, like I was telling you earlier, I have a YouTube channel, and it's just Frank Thomas Country, and there's about 80 songs up there. And then I have a website, which is www.frankthomascountry.org. But right now, it needs a little maintenance. But the YouTube channel's got, like I said, 80-something songs on it.
Sweet. Wow, that's awesome. I love that. So everyone, if you want to hear more of this wonderful country singer, Frank Thomas, then please, please, please check it out. And I'll post all of your links after the show everywhere, your YouTube and your website. So no problems there. No problem. No problem. That's, I'd love to do that. It's awesome. Yeah. And I was wondering, what are some things that you like to do for fun when you're not working on your music, on your downtime?
Well,
what do you like to do?
Okay, well, as you know, like I said, I'm a martial arts master, so I do that. But I also, I'm a biker. I ride motorcycles. I've held all my life.
Sweet.
And from being in the Marine Corps, I was scuba trained and everything. And so I love to swim. I've got a boogie board. And I live down in Florida right now. I'm at the beach all the time. And I like to hike and all those things like that. I stay pretty busy.
You do. Which is awesome. You're very outdoorsy. You're a very outdoorsy type person, which is amazing. And it must be really, really neat to, be on your motorcycle or whatever, and it's such a calming place. And then, don't do songs or lyrics or something. Just come in your head when you're just relaxing. Or how does that work? I've always wanted to. Know.
Yeah, they do a lot. Josie, I haven't done it lately, and I've been kicking myself because, if I'm on a long hike or walk on the beach or a long motorcycle ride, a lot of times one good line will come to you, that you can build a whole song off of. But sometimes by the time the hike's over or the ride's over, I don't even remember it. So a smart thing I would always recommend is to either keep paper and pencil with you or just keep a little they've got all those little recorders now that are about the size of a cigarette lighter. So, and get that one line. It's like I said, I've probably got a couple of hundred really good one or two line or a couple of verse things that I just need to get to work on and finish up,
Right. Amen. I find that very, very interesting how, a lyric can just pop in your head when you are just doing the simplest, calming things. I find that really cool.
And it just really hurts when, when you lose one because you didn't have anything to write it down with.
Oh, yeah. Tip, bring something that you can write your lyric down or a recorder. And I don't remember who it was, but it was a funny story. A past guest a while ago said that, they had a lyric just pop in their head, and they seriously just ran to the bathroom and recorded it on, their cell phone. So people must have thought, wow, she's dedicated.
That's a great idea now. And now that I have an iPhone, I guess I have no excuse. I just need a teenager to show me how to operate it,
I'll show you. I'm good at that kind of stuff.
But, the great songwriters like Willie and, have you heard of Billy Joe Shaver?
I actually have. You can Google him if you guys don't know.
one of the greatest Texas songwriters in the world. He's done so many songs that people have made hits out of that you don't even know he wrote it. But he always, has a piece of paper, a pencil handy, and he'll write it down. And, of course, he's a very gifted songwriter.
Definitely.
You just always have to be prepared because, like I can tell you from experience, you have a great thought, maybe a good, verse or a chorus, and by the time you get back, it's gone,
Right. You have to write it down right when it comes to you.
Yeah.
You can't delay.
Or like you say, now that you have an iPhone, just record it real quick.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Not bad. Everyone should definitely try that if, they have something, just a little tip. A little tip. If they have anything, just record it. It's all good.
Yep.
I love that. Absolutely. And I was wondering, do you have any, social networking sites like Facebook or Twitter that you want to tell everyone so they could follow you and add you and subscribe?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry. I have a Facebook channel, and it's open to the public, and it's just Frank Thomas Country, and I think that's all, all small letters, all in one word. I don't think it's separated, but on Facebook, it'll still come up, Frank Thomas Country, and they're welcome to get on there, and every now and then I post a song through there, and I'm always happy to have new friends.
Yeah.
And also, you know, of course, I put some Christian stuff through there, too, because I'm a Christian, and so every night I share a lot of Christian things, too, because I sing gospel, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's so cool. That's so cool. Like I said, you really do everything, and you're very, very a very, very talented singer. That's what you love to do. That's what you do. You're a wonderful singer, and everyone, please check out his YouTube. We'll post all of the links after the show. But we actually ran out of time. But I just have to say, Frank, thank you so much for coming on the show, and you can come back anytime because we still have some questions for you.
I really appreciate you, and I enjoyed it a lot. God bless you.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much. That will actually be my excuse. We still have more questions for you. So you have to come back.
Okay. All right, honey. You take care now.
All right. Thank you so much. Frank Thomas, everyone. Awesome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Super talented. I'm like surrounded by talented and inspiring people. So far, we got to talk to Estenice Newton, who I got to meet in Nashville. She's amazing. Her book, and I'll post all the links for that too. And also the wonderful Frank Thomas. But we are not done. I am very excited because I get to talk to this next person again. Everyone, please welcome the amazing James McCollum from the James McCollum Project. Woohoo!
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. Totally great.
Awesome. That is so good to hear. It's so good to hear. And it's been a while since we last spoke. How have you been? What's been going on?
Oh, just been, I got signed with Music and Film, and I've just been, they've got the record released finally, Uncharted Territory.
Yeah.
Which is out in iTunes and Amazon, and basically preparing the band to get ready to play again and getting ready to go back into the studio and pull down my second album.
Woohoo! That's awesome. Awesome. I am very, very excited for everything because I'm a fan. You know that. And I'm very excited to see what you have up your sleeve for this next album. It's so cool. A lot of people know this already, but you do a lot of different things. So I'm going to do this in topics. first, I want to kind of review a few things with you tonight that we discussed last time. But can you tell everyone when you first started making music and when you knew that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I basically started playing music when I was very young. My mother put me in music, I think I was roughly around 4 years old, and it was a way for her to keep me off the streets as I grew up in the future, and that was a good thing. It kept me busy, and I was a good, fast learner, so it was fun. You know, more than anything. And that instrument I started on was actually the violin.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Switched over to piano right when I was about 7 years old.
Definitely. Very, very cool. And did you kind of like self-teach yourself, or did you, you know, take classes, or how'd you do it?
I had mostly private lessons. Until mm-hmm. I got to high school, and then I was asked to join the stage band after the guitar player heard me playing in the music room one day. And I was basically a gospel player. And he asked me, hey, I want you to play R&B and rock and roll. And I'm like, I've never done that before. He said, I'll teach you. That guy's name was Dave Rawlings.
Wow.
We lost him last year. He passed away on us last year.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. But I just think that's, like, a really amazing story that, you know, he just heard you and then just brought up a suggestion to you, and then you tried it, and here you are. I think that's really cool. You
man,
know?
I basically got out of music for a long time. Before I got out of it, I traveled around with different bands, Carlos Santana and a
few others and did keyboard tech work and then sound guy and a computer guru. And then I was basically storing my music up so when I retired, I would have a lot of material that I could either sell or put in movies and things like that. And then one night I was compelled to start writing clean lyrics. And I believe it was God telling me that he didn't want me to stop, but he wanted me to get a message out. So I began writing in that fashion, not per se Christian music, but tough rock music with great positive lyrics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely love it because I do the same thing. I love positive lyrics because, you know, there's a lot of music out there, every genre, you know, that there's, you know, cussing or, you know, other kind of things. And I think it's very important to, you know, show the youth kind of the positive side of music. You know what I mean? So I admire that of you because I just think that's amazing. I absolutely love it. And I was wondering, though, how long has the James McCullum Project been together, the whole band?
The band, the newest band, has been together for roughly 5 years. Couple of people have been with me since I started the project, which was 7 years ago. And then in 1984 through 1987, I had another James McCullum Project, which was a rock band with horns, and a nine-piece band. And today, you can't cover nine people on a tour so much as like because of the economy. So now I'm down to six. But that was a lot of fun, and I got signed, and then basically right after I got signed, the band fell apart, and I took a day job.
Right. But I'm so glad that you're continuing to put out amazing music for your fans out there. And, I mean, as you mentioned, there's a long list because I do my research on you. You are just incredible. You know, besides performing, you're a musician, as you mentioned, and an entertainer, of course, but you are also a songwriter, arranger, producer, certified engineer. I can go on and on, which is amazing. You have a huge resume of different things that you do. You seriously do it all.
Yeah, and I have fun doing it, you know, every bit of it. I mix a lot of records for a lot of different people, and it's been a real adventure for sure. My whole life, it's been an adventure. It's been great and blessed.
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like you're having a lot of fun doing it as well, which is important. You got to love what you do. And also, I did my research. You've worked within some capacity many artists, many great artists such as Carlos Santana and Sly and the Family Stone. Can you tell us about a few of those great experiences, getting to work with them?
Well, Carlos Santana, I was working at a music store, and their head road guy came in and said, James, I need a keyboard technician, like, immediately. And this is the tour, and he showed me the itinerary, and he wanted me to go. And then I went to the rehearsal and went on tour with Carlos, went around the world a couple of times with him. And then I worked with the band Confunction, went on the road with them for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked, when I was younger, I was introduced to Sly and the Family Stone by David Stallings. And I didn't actually play with him on a show, but the whole band except for Sly came to the high school and we did a showcase for them. And after that, I started hanging around Sly's brother, Freddie, and Larry Graham, the bass player, and I was in the studio with Freddie a lot. And I was young, and I learned a lot. And it was really nice to be able to, I believe I was 17, but to be able to hang out with a really famous group at that age, the bad thing is once I got into it, I didn't want to leave it. I loved it. I loved the music business at that time.
Right.
So they kept introducing to me more and more people, and then eventually I met Harvey Fuqua, which is an older guy, and he basically took me under his wing. He was president of Honey Records, which was a division of Fantasy Records, and he took me under his wing and trained me, and then I went on the road with Sylvester and the Village People on a world tour at that age, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds like it. I mean, you got to really meet, work with a lot of amazing artists, and I have to know, are there any, either a songwriter or another artist or behind the scenes even, any great advice that you got or anything that you learned from someone that you can recall? I think that's interesting.
I got a lot of my training from Harvey Fuqua and another manager, that president of Thrill Entertainment, who was Phil Arnold. Phil was a person that came in the music store and just looked at me and said, "There's something different about you. I want to meet you." And I met him, and him and I hit it off, and then I played him my music, and that's all she wrote. And he was a big influence in my career as far as teaching me how song structures go and how different formulas fit. And once I learned that, all the music I had learned earlier on, I was finally able to put songs together.
Yeah. That's very neat. That is very, very neat. And I have to say, I am very, very excited to finally get to hear your work. I know everyone's very excited. So let me start off here with your song, No God, No Life, and we will be right back, all right?
All righty.
All right. Here we go. No God, No Life by James McCullough.
Enjoying world pleasures, rejecting God's love.
that was No God, No Life by James McCollum and the James McCollum Project, and we're chatting with him right now. So now I have to ask you about your thoughts on freedom of speech and music writing versus making positive lyrics reach our children. We got a question for, maybe a couple weeks ago to ask you, and I thought that was very interesting.
What was the question?
Can you tell us about your thoughts on freedom of speech in music writing versus making positive lyrics reach our children?
Right. Mm. And it was like I had did another interview and I had, it was one of the fans or a new fan, somebody that bought the record,
mm-hmm.
said they bought the record and they heard it. And then they went and got their children's iPods and then bought it two more times. And she loaded up their iPods because she wanted them to have positive music on there. And I thought
wow.
that was the kick out of that.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. I love that. That's amazing. That's kind of what my my parents do. Whenever they like hear a positive song on the radio, they used to do this when I was younger, they would always like download the song on an iPod or on my phone or something and be like, listen to this. This is what you should be listening to. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
That's what more people should do.
Yeah, that's all about.
And I was wondering where our listeners can go to purchase all of your music. Our new listeners out there, where can we purchase your music?
You can go to iTunes. It's under James McCollum. The name of the album is Unchartered Territory, not Uncharted, but Unchartered.
Mm-hmm.
Territory, and
mm-hmm.
it's on Amazon, eMusic, Spotty, and iTunes.
Perfect, perfect. So very, very easy. I love things that start with I, iTunes, iPod. It's been good. And also, I was wondering if you have any social networking sites where fans can chat with you and get to know you a little bit better, if you'd be okay with releasing those.
Reverb Nation is... where they could actually ask me questions, join as a fan, and actually listen to some of the songs that are on the record in the full length. And you must remember that if you see music that's out there that's 2.0, those are the old versions. The record version, Unchartered Territory, is 3.0. Remember telling you that last time, that would be the name, mm-hmm. that would be number on the newest stuff.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Gotcha. So everyone, please check out. We're actually going to after the show post all of your links.
Okay.
So yeah, for easy access, so everyone can check out what you're doing and checking out your page. It works. Very easy.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. So let's see here. I want to play your next song, your last song of the night. I'm very excited. Let's play your song, Rock Your World. I like it. Let's play it right now, okay?
All right.
Woo-hoo. All right. Rock Your World by James McCollum. If it'll work.
Gonna give you some love, gonna play you about to give you a show. We're gonna rock your world, make it hot. Y'all never gonna want the music to stop. So get up, stand up, clap your hands. Y'all better get ready for the Jimmy James Band. We're ready to rock, we're ready to roll. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
Let you go to hear some universal story about love and hate and drugs and sex and sticker. Gonna guide you through uncharted territory. So open up your heart and let the message in. Gonna rock your world tonight if you let me. Gonna make
McCollum on the James McCollum Project, and we're chatting with him right now. Now, I can imagine when performing this song live, you must get a lot of fans on their chairs screaming and clapping so loud. This
right
is
off.
A rocking song.
I love this.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's okay. As soon as we get started, it's rocking.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. It's just such a great song. It's one of my favorites, personally. And in the chat room, there are some people here that want to comment. Bearcat2010 says, "This rocks." Your song rocks. let's see here. In the chat room, James is awesome. Dancing. Vicky has the little dancing emoticon thingy, mabobbers. She's grooving right now to your song. Jeremy's mommy says, "I love that song." And that's it so far. Wow, you got some new fans here. That's so cool. That is a very, very, very popular song. I could tell. Everyone absolutely loves it, and they're jamming to it right now. So I have to ask you, because we're actually running out of time, but I was wondering, what are some things that you like to do for fun when you're not working on your music, when you're just calm, relaxing?
I like to hunt, and I like to fish.
Amen. Love it.
I'm deer hunting in 2 weeks.
Oh, there you go. That's so cool. Like, when... do you get, like, really good, song inspiration, lyrics come to your head when you're just, you know, relaxing, fishing, or hunting? Do things just pop in your head as you go?
Absolutely. When you're sitting out on the boat on the river or the ocean, and, yeah, I get a lot of ideas, and I just turn on my phone and record it, and then when I get home.
I think that's just so amazing, like, how a lyric can just pop in your head when you're doing just, you know, the most calming of things, and you're really not focusing on it, but it'll just pop in your head. I think that's amazing how and the best songs are written that way, too, which is fascinating.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun writing, and Malia is a,
witness to that.
Oh, yes. I have to agree with you. Malia McKinney from Conscious Music Entertainment, she is the best. She actually introduced me to your music, and that's how I fell in love with you and your music. That's how I first found you. Thank you, Malia. Love it. Amazing. And I have to thank you so, so much for coming on the show and chatting with me. You can come back anytime. You know that.
I really appreciate you having me on the show, and looking forward to coming back.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much. James McCollum, everyone. I mean, we'll chat with you soon. We have Facebook and all that fun stuff.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much. So please check out James McCollum, James McCollum Project, and I'll post all the links after the show for easy access. For all of my guests, I mean, S. Denise Nguyen, Frank Thomas, and, of course, James McCollum. So we're going to post everything after the show, so please check that out. I want to give a quick shout-out here to some of the people in the chat room that joined us. Darren Rhodes, Peanut the Squirrel, Tim Garman, Tina Marie, Alan, Vicky, Bearcat2010, Haystack, and Jeremy's Mommy. And also, Denise Nguyen was in the chat room earlier. You got to talk to her when she was on, so that was really, really neat. I love when the guests are in the chat room and stuff. That's really, really fun because people can ask them questions. So that is why you should join the chat room. It's a lot of fun. We always are entertaining.
Hey, Johnny, am I on the air yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. That scared me. Oh, my gosh. That was so scary. I thought I was haunted. Oh, goodness. Hold on. While I restart my heart, how about we play Peanut song? Are you ready to do that or what?
Whew. We're on now?
Yes, we're on.
We're taking over your show.
Oh, goodness. I'm scared.
I'm here with DJ Squirrely Squirrel. How's it going, eh?
Awesome.
Hey, let's tie up Josie for her chair. Let's make her go get us ice cream.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so scared. That is so awesome. I want to hear Peanut song so, so bad. Okay? I'm so excited about it.
I
know.
I wrote it all myself.
Yeah. I thought you did. That's why I'm terrified.
Let's put out a little warning.
Yeah.
Peanut is a real squirrel, and she's female.
Yes, she is a female.
She's a little girl squirrel. So
we're going to bust the groove, and Tina's going to bust the hip, and we're all going to bust stuff.
Okay. Hey, why do I have to bust the hip?
Peanut the squirrel and DJ Squirrely Squirrel. And we're here to hype up the Josie Show so we could do a live performance of our new song. Called My Nuts. Are you ready, Squirrely? Let's do it. Give me a beat.
Now that's what I call a beat. You can see DJ Squirrely Squirrel, he's like spinning the records with his tail and he's making himself dizzy. I think he's gonna throw up. Okay, here we go. I've got small nuts, big nuts, giant nuts, two almonds, walnuts, and a few cashews. I get together with my squirrely bunch, listen to the Josie Show, and play with our nuts. I bury my nuts all over the yard, it makes them fall when my nuts are too hard. Bing, bing, nuts, my nuts, bury nuts so that I can survive. What was that? I don't know, but I'm getting pretty hungry. Yeah, me too. Hey, you wanna go to IHOP? They got those nuts and those pancakes over at the IHOP. Ooh, I'm going to IHOP. Oh, okay. See you later, Josie. Yeah, we'll finish this another time, because quite frankly, it's boring. Yeah, we'll talk to you later. We're out of here. Woo!
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Not even sure I know what to say to that. I heard IHOP, I think. I think I heard pancakes. I don't know what else I heard.
Oh, my gosh. I'm crying. That was so crazy that I can't even take it. Okay, people. I'm sorry for that.
We're just sorry.
Hey, guys. We're going to IHOP. We're going to get some of those pancakes with the nuts. And we wanted to tell you that we're coming back on at the end of next week's show, and I'm going to debut my new single, which is called The Squirrely Squirrel Song, with an alternate title, and it's called I Got Me Some Tail. And we'll be back next week, and yes, be afraid, be very scared, and we're going to hijack the show again.
Oh. If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and call again.
I have to say, these squirrels, they do have some really bushy tails.
Oh, my gosh. I can't breathe.
Okay, I'm going to reach you. Why not everybody do?
I can't breathe. Oh, my God, I'm crying.
Oh.
I can't breathe. Oh, my God.
Okay.
My side hurts. My stomach hurts. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm allergic. Okay, you want to mute for a minute? I'll go through this one. How do we do that?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Well, Josie collects. Oh, let's make sure I'm not muted. Okay. Wow, let me go way over here so you can't hear her through my mic, too. Oh, my goodness. Well, every once in a while, the squirrels take over, and there really isn't much that we can do about that. Oh, they are funny. Okay. Yeah, Josie can't breathe right now. All right. Let's see. All right. So, let's give some special thanks. Let's do that. So some special thanks to our great Facebook groups who have helped us fill our guest books and show lots of love to us every week. John at Talent Hookup always has great ideas and great people coming our direction. Don at Keeping It Country, he rocks. I don't know how we would do it without him. He brings out great, great friends. He introduced us to Frank Thomas tonight, as a matter of fact. Andrew from Supporting Great Talented Kids and Teens runs an awesome group. He's in our chat room right now. Hey there. How you doing, Andrew? Okay. And Danny from Songwriters Unite. He is awesome as well. He's always starting new things on Facebook for us. He rocks. So now, let me share with you our upcoming guest for the month of October. Wait, first let me check on Josie and make sure she's breathing.
She's okay.
Her face is a little red. Okay. All right. I'm going to check to make sure she was still with us. We don't want to lose her for good. All right. Mute yourself back up and we'll go through the next guest. Okay. So for October, we're just going to do this by month instead of all of them because that's making everybody crazy. So for the month of October, starts next week for us, we start out with our 3-year anniversary show. Woo-hoo!
Woo!
How about that? Oh, yeah. 3 years. Wonderful. It's been so
I like great. I like those jelly beans. I don't know.
Yes.
That's my new saying. That's
yes.
So cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. And
next Friday for the 3rd anniversary, do you think we can all get together and have a really pretty, fresh and fruity, squirrely breakfast at IHOP?
Sure. Why not? Why not? Okay, you're going to keep saying that, and you keep making Josie start all over again.
I got to keep it together.
Okay. All right. So for our anniversary show next week, we have Ron Shoemate, Brenda Best, Judy Rodman, and Stephen Pride. And, yes, for all of those that have asked, he is Charlie Pride's brother, and he is a great musician. So he will be with us as well. And then for the rest of the awesome month of October, we have got Layla Hansen, Myra Rowland, Roy Solis, Mike Seiler, Doug Briney, Jerry Audley, Chuck Cusimano, and it is going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. We are
we'll
currently
let the
looking for April.
Out. We'll let the squirrels out.
He's not going to stop until Josie's just not breathing at all anymore. Okay, and we are currently booking for April of 2013, so if you want to be featured on the show, send me an email back at tina@josieshow.com, tina@josieshow.com, or go to our contact tab on the site, josieshow.com, and send us a message right away. We are filling up like craziness, so send me a message right away if you want to be included here. We definitely would love to hear from you. And we want to mention that this week on Josie's Hard Country, our guest will be TJ Christian. So make sure you tune in Sunday, September 30th for that show at 7 p.m. Eastern. There will be chart-topping country music and a great video to share like Josie has for you every week. And for that show, you tune in at southernstarnetwork.com, and you just click on the Josie's Hard Country tab at the top and enjoy. That's what we say to that.
Yeah. Tina?
Yeah.
We have a request. I want to hear the My Nuts song again.
You guys want to hear it again?
Okay, let's hear it again.
Okay.
Hey, 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 it's Peanut the Squirrel and DJ Squirrely Squirrel. And we're here to hype the Josie Show so we could do a live performance of our new song called My Nuts. Are you ready, Squirrely? Let's do it. Give me a beat. Now that's what I call a beat. You should see DJ Squirrely Squirrel. He's like spinning the records with his tail and he's making himself dizzy. I think he's gonna throw up. Okay, I got. I've got small nuts, big nuts, giant nuts, two almonds, walnuts, and a few cashews. I get together with my squirrely bunch. Listen to the Josie Show. Hey, we're on nuts. I bury my nuts all over the yard and make them fall when my nuts are too hard. Then spending most of my life burying nuts so that I can survive. What was that? I don't know, but I'm getting pretty hungry. Yeah, me too. Hey, you wanna go to IHOP? They got those nuts and those pancakes over at the IHOP. Ooh, I'm going to IHOP. Oh, okay. See you later, Josie. Yeah, we'll finish this another time, because quite frankly, it's boring. Yeah, we'll talk to you later. We're out of here. Woo!
Okay, I gotta keep it together. Okay. Oh gosh, I have a cramp. Okay.
We just love our squirrely friends, don't we?
Okay.
Okay. So I went through all of your announcements while you were hyperventilating.
Oh, I'm choking.
And now coughing and choking.
Okay.
Oh, it is great. That's
okay. So, real quick, the Josie Show may not be rebroadcast or used in any way without prior written consent from the Josie Show. All rights reserved. Bye, everyone. I'm sad. This show, I'm so hyper right now. I can't even. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Yeah, just thank you for coming and playing. Through this madness. Oh.
And remember, please note, the Josie Show may not be rebroadcast or used in any way without prior written consent from the Josie Show. All rights reserved. Reserved.
That's wonderful. Let's thank our guests, shall we, very much. We had awesome guests, so special thanks.
Oh, yeah, special thank you to Estenice Newton, James McCollum, and Frank Thomas. Thank you guys so much, and thank you so much to all the new listeners that were listening in. I hope I didn't scare you off. Hope Pina didn't scare you off, or Alan.
You are great stuff.
And thank you so much for just tuning in, and to our great friends and fans out there that will keep supporting us. And of course, Go Conscious America. Check that out.
About that. That's a good idea. Both of the interviews that we brought you tonight from S. Denise Newton and from James McCollum were both to say special thanks to Go Conscious America. Go Conscious America Radio will be coming up in October from Aaliyah McKinney and also Gloria Brown. So you will be hearing from them soon. We're covering some of their interviews for them as they're getting started. So we thank everybody very, very much for that.
Yes, and thank you guys so much. Thank you to Alan for being his own crazy self. Thank you so much, Peanut, for making me cry of laughter. And the cramp, thank you very much. And
I
also,
think that's the first time you ever went down on radio.
I know. This is my first time. This is my first unprofessional laugh time. But I mean, you really can't blame me with that song. So you know what?
You can't. And you know what? Alan pointed out this is your very last show within
exactly.
your two-year segment. See?
This is my
next show
really?
Starts your third year. So
exactly. So
it,
I did
bang.
It. yes, that was definitely something. But thank you guys so much for tuning in, all the new listeners, and talk to you guys soon. Thank you so much to my guests, to all of our friends and fans out there. I don't really like to call you guys fans. You guys are more like my friends who just supported me through everything. So thank you guys so much. Talk to you guys soon. Facebook, Twitter, all that other fun stuff.
And special thanks to all of our new networks that are playing our shows during the week. Thank you.
Yes, big time. Thank you so much. And we will talk to you guys soon. Bye, everyone. Mwah! Thank you for listening to the Josie Show.